God of peace, who has taught us that in returning in rest we shall be saved, and in quietness and in confidence we shall find strength, by the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. These are difficult times, scary, uncertain, difficult times, for many reasons. Not the least of these is that we who are watching this anti-communion service can't be together as we would so much like to be. Dark times. And today we encounter the story of a blind man who meets Jesus. His life was totally dark, I assume, for his whole life. The disciples, on encountering the man, immediately ask, "Who sinned that he has been born blind?" Jesus replied immediately, saying, "You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect. Look instead for what God can do," as is translated in the Message version of the Bible. My grandmother was blind. She lived into her 101st year, so I knew her well, and she was blind for half her life. Unlike the man in today's reading who was blind from birth. There was no diagnosis for my grandmother when she went blind in the 1920s. The cause was most likely detached retinas, a problem that these days could be quickly solved by my ophthalmologist, Dr. John Sven, with a quick laser blast. Unlike my grandmother, who shopped and cooked and lived a fairly normal life, the man was able only to beg. Certainly a miserable existence. Jesus saw the man sitting by the side of the road. Probably Jesus was the only one who noticed this invisible man sitting and begging. In Syracuse, at many of the entrances and exits to I-81 and I-690, there are often people begging. But I can't ever remember actually seeing any of these people. But Jesus saw the man who was born blind. Jesus puts mud on the man's eyes, and then he can see. The writer of John tells the stories of Jesus in a series of signs, seven signs. This reading is the sixth sign. The first was the turning of water into wine at the wedding at Cana. And the last is the raising of Lazarus, Jesus' friend, which will be the reading next week. The signs in John's Gospel are not actions standing alone, but they point to something greater. They point to a critical understanding. The sign here points to and calls us to faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in the Jesus who is the Messiah, the God incarnate, the human one, as today's reading translates from the Greek. The writer of John presents the sign first, in every case, presents the sign first. In this reading, it is the man's blindness being healed. And then there is a dialogue where the observers discuss and try to understand or explain the sign. Always unsuccessfully, I think. Note that in today's reading, during this dialogue, Jesus is absent from the reading for 28 verses. The dialogue in the usual structure is followed by a discourse in which Jesus gives an explanation that the observers may or may not understand. Unfortunately, the discourse is cut off in this reading. We don't hear all of it. One commentator and expert on the Gospel of John, Professor Carolyn Lewis of Luther Seminary, suggests we read another 21 verses to get the whole story. In today's reading, from verse 1 to 38, the man moves from being totally blind to being able to see, and what's more, to be able to understand. At the same time, the Pharisees remain blind and also deaf to Jesus' message. The Pharisees say, quote, "Surely we aren't blind, are we?" And Jesus replied, again from the Message, quote, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure." The blind man not only gains his sight, he gains understanding. In the first, he did not even know who Jesus was. His neighbors didn't really know the blind man. They couldn't even recognize him, perhaps because, being a beggar, he was a nobody. By the 11th verse, the blind man knew Jesus' name and what Jesus had done. He knew that he was a man who stopped by the side of the road and somehow cured his blindness. By the 17th verse, the formerly blind man identifies Jesus as a prophet. By the 33rd verse, the formerly blind man, after a heated debate with the religious experts, the man identifies Jesus as, quote, from God. And in the 38th verse, the man, formerly blind, confesses faith in Jesus and becomes a follower of Jesus. We all, I think, have our own stories of our growth in faith, whether as rapid and impetuous as the formerly blind man, or through deep meditation and contemplation as St. Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila was a 16th century mystic in Spain and the founder and head of a religious order, the Discalced Carmelites, which means in English, the shoeless Carmelites, which gives you an idea of their approach to life and their ministry. St. Teresa has a number of published books. I'm reading Interior Castle during this Lenten season. Interior Castle is her best known and probably best writing. In Interior Castle, Teresa envisions her soul, in her own words, as, quote, a most beautiful crystal globe made in the shape of a castle and containing seven mansions, in the seventh and innermost of which was the King of Glory in the greatest splendor, illumining and beautifying them all. The nearer one got to the center, the stronger was the light. Outside the palace limits, everything was foul, dark, and infested with toads, vipers, and other venomous creatures. Teresa describes traversing the seven mansions as moving ever closer to God. This is not easily done, for there are challenges, mental, physical, and emotional, for Teresa, for the nuns of her order, and certainly also for me and perhaps us. One makes progress and then regresses. Teresa put it this way, quote, the devil frequently fills our thoughts with great schemes, so that instead of putting our hands to what work we can do to serve our Lord, we may rest satisfied with wishing to perform impossibilities, end quote. Whether we face the challenges of the current pandemic, the challenge of physical limitation as the man born blind, or challenges in entering into contemplative prayer, such as Teresa's, we do believe that the light of the world, the human one, the Messiah Jesus, is always with us. Teresa put it this way, quote, the beloved of ours is merciful and good. Besides, he so deeply longs for our love that he keeps calling us to come closer. This voice of his is so sweet that the poor soul falls apart in the face of her own inability to instantly do whatever he asks of her. And so you can see, hearing him hurts much more than not being able to hear him. For now his voice reaches us through words spoken by good people, through listening to spiritual talks and reading sacred literature, end quote from Teresa. And is it not true today, listening words spoken by good people and reading sacred literature? My very favorite words of St. Teresa have been made part of a well-known Taizé chant. Let me first give them to you in the original Spanish and then in the less poetic English translation. Nada te turbe, nada te espante, Quien Dios tiene, nada le falta. Solo Dios basta. Todo se pasa. Dios no se muda. La paciencia todo lo alcanza. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God is enough. Amen.